12-ounce sports. Quench your sports thirst. Articles, live shows, and podcasts. Visit 12ozsportsradio.com. Hey folks, this is Lee W. Mowen of the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast, and I'm here to talk to you about my bookie. Since 2014, it's the place where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Get up to $1,000 on your first deposit bonus. Use the promo code 12OZSports. As well as sports betting, you can play some casino games, take in some live odds in Madden 20 and NBA 2K20, and even bet with Bitcoin. Visit mybookie.ag and use that promo code 12OZSports. That's 12OZSports. MyBookie, the industry's most rewarding loyalty program. It's episode 164 of the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast, and our special guest is Chris Tilton, a freelance sports writer based out of Southern Preble County. We're talking Preble County and local area sports, the possible upcoming last season of the Cross County Conference, and the changes occurring in the future. If it's local sports, it's on the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast. Welcome to the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast with Lee W. Mowen. This is a weekly podcast covering all sports in Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio. From Lima to the Ohio River and northern Kentucky, from eastern Indiana to Madison County and all points in between, this is your source of local Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio sports. Visit the LeeWMowen.com/podcasts to find your favorite podcasting platform. Music created with the Splash app. Time for another episode with your host, Lee W. Mowen. And on the phone, we have Chris Tilton. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. I'm sitting on my front porch here watching the corn grow.
It's a beautiful day out there. It's not too warm, although we're supposed to get back in the high temperatures on Friday, so yeah. But let's begin.
Yeah, just got finished with an open gym with the junior high kids there at South, and so it wasn't too hateful out there today.
Absolutely. So let's begin. Where are you from?
I originally come from Lewisburg. There, I'm an alum of Tri-County North. Although when I attended, it was Twin Valley North when I attended. But yeah, that's where I come from. I traveled around a little bit when I was young, and when me and the wife decided to settle down, I was like, you know, back home in Ohio, it's not too bad a place. So we ended up back here.
And it's a pretty village in Lewisburg as well. Now, how did you get into sports and writing about them?
It happened by accident. I was started a Pee Wee football program when my son was, I don't know, probably about fifth grade, I think it was, and so I started a Pee Wee football program, and I was submitting articles to the Twin Valley News, and the guy, Sam Shortis, had bought it, and he says, man, he realized that he was paying way too much for the guy that he had. He said the sports writer he had at the time was making more money than he did, and so he's wanting to shift gears and get someone just in part-time to do sports, and he approached me and says, you did a pretty good job writing up the summaries for the Pee Wee football games. Would you mind being a sports writer? And I go, well, yeah, why not? You know, because I've always enjoyed writing. And so one thing led to another, and, ended up being working part-time for them until they went out of business. I think it's been fairly recent, like a year or two ago, Twin Valley Publications went under, unfortunately, which has happened in the industry. But yeah, that's where I got started, and it was quite by accident.
I didn't realize they went under. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, it's the old story about declining revenue and the expenses are staying the same if not higher, and so yeah, I decided he had to be the one to pull the plug on it, because that's a publication that's been for the longest while, and so he hated to pull the plug on it. But I got to make a living, and that's not working for me. So, yeah, they closed up doors like a year or two ago.
How long were you affiliated with Twin Valley Publications?
For a good long while. I would say probably like the mid to late 1990s is when I started with them. And so, you know, what is that, like about 20 odd years, something like that, I was with them. So, yeah, I didn't realize I'd been with them for that length of time until I sat down the other day and looked it over and was like, well, I was with them for a good long while. And I enjoyed working for Sam. But I did notice that, you know, at one point in time, I was doing like two full stories a week. And then it came down to doing one full story a week. And then towards the end there, he just wanted pictures only and maybe like a paragraph summary. So, you know, it, there again, just reflecting that his revenues were going down. He was trying to cut expenses. And so, but yeah, his heyday was fun, you know, doing two stories a week and stuff for him. So,
where did your love of journalism come from?
Well, like I said, in high school, I was always enjoyed writing. And then part of it is it's kind of like a hobby type thing. But also, like, I remember when I was a kid and I was in school, I mean, I wasn't the greatest athlete, but, you know, the local papers had put in, you know, like the lineman of the week you know, who had the carries and tackles and stuff like that. So it was always a thrill to see your name in the paper. And so that's kind of part of the inspiration for me is like, you know, someone's gotta do that. And I got the skills to do it. And so I don't mind giving back in that sense, as far as being able to, you know, write up the stories. And, you know, for a lot of these athletes, you know, this is the one time that they'll get their names in the paper and so forth. And I remember one quote that I heard is that you're guaranteed, you know, two times your name is going to be in the paper, once when you're born and once when you die. And it's what you do in between is what, you know, is sort of like what your life's about. And so, you know, it's a chance for the local athletes to get some recognition for what they do. I mean, those guys, you know, both the athletes and the coaches both, you know, they work hard. And, you know, and there again, for some of them, this might be the only chance of lives to get some recognition in the paper for what they've accomplished. So that's kind of what drives me. It's more, you know, not like more like a hobby, but also, you know, like the giving back thing.
You also have your own website and also Van Diet Sports. When did you start operating those?
Yeah, so my real job before I retired was being a computer programmer, and so just it was secondary nature to start up a sports blog. And so it's, yeah, Chris Tilton Sports is a sports blog. And so I, you know, a lot of times some of the newspapers I work for, like, some of the stuff makes it on paper, some doesn't. And so I started that up because I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, the newer generation that doesn't care about newspapers as much is missing. So I started up the blog so I could get the, you know, pictures and stories up on there in full. And then also something I did with that was I did the web scraping. There again, being a computer programmer, I could set up a web scraper to go out and get local sports stories from other publications and put links to them in that website. And so the idea being that someone could go to the website and they could look for their school or whatever and see what kind of stories that that they have. And I have to admit, I've not been as diligent, especially recently with the coronavirus stuff going on with that. But yeah, it's something that just kind of like a hobby type thing. I do have a friend of mine who helps support the website. He's got a mold and tool shop, and he helps support it and stuff. And then the VanDiet.com site. And again, you know, being a computer programmer, just kind of, you know, play around with that website a little bit, and I got some hobby type stuff and other stuff that's there to look at. And again, my friend John Myers with the tool shop, I got a page to put together for him out there to help him build his business up and everything. So just something for me to kind of play around with and keep my skills up on. I mean, you know, if the worst comes to worst, you know, if for some reason I might have to go back to work again, then just kind of keep my skills up so I can still do the computer programming stuff.
And that's Twin Valley Mold, his business, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Now,
so yeah, he makes like the plastic molds and stuff as a specialty, although he does other machine shop type stuff.
Now, as a writer that covered local area sports, what schools and sports did you get to cover?
Obviously the emphasis is on your the big ones in Ohio, which is the football and basketball. And then, of course, in the spring, you get the baseball, fast pitch, and track are the main ones there. And my daughter ran cross country, so I don't mind covering some cross country every once in a while. And let me think what other. Some tennis a little bit. I'd never done it before, so I thought I'd cover tennis. That was kind of a fun thing to do. And wrestling, I've done a few times, but yeah, primarily the big ones, because the most sports, or most the sports for the local papers, they want eyes on the paper, and there's a ton more people interested in football and basketball than, say, I hate to say it, but wrestling or maybe soccer or something like that. You just don't have the fan support, and so they want the big ones covered. So you go to your market.
And your main focus is the Cross County Conference and the Southwestern Buckeye League, two leagues that are going to have some major changes coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice little segue there. Absolutely. I live down in southern Preble County. And I'm in a good place to cover both the SWBL teams that are here locally, as well as the Cross County Conference teams. And, the Cross County Conference is, breaking up, as we all know, and I'm kind of a little bit discouraged, because I thought I think the feeling is among most people is that with the conference, the change of the conference, basically we're kicking out the better football teams, and then going with so that makes it more competitive for, for lack of a better term, the weaker schools. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do, as opposed to maybe trying to up your game to compete with the other schools. And so, there's a little bit of, not really happy about that part of it. But I think as far as basketball, obviously bringing in Shawnee there year in, year out, they've always got a real good basketball program. And Dixie's fallen on rough times. But I think if you look at Dixie, over the years, that they're kind of known for having, decent basketball program, the football not so much. I think they're just, trying to find themselves as far as getting the right coach in there. And I think they get the athletes to compete. So I think that, but in the Cross County Conference, I think it'll be easier for them to compete. And then the SWBL, I think they had a really good setup there for the longest while. They had this big school division and the small school division. And I heard some rumors this is several years ago, that North and South were extended invitation, but they both had to come as a package, and they couldn't get both schools to agree. But I think that would have been a good move for North and South at that time. But what's happened is that now you got these really big schools, then you have the smaller schools like a Carlisle, and Carlisle competing against like a Bellbrook or a Franklin, especially in football, where it's the numbers are just, they got like twice as many students or whatever. I don't see how they're going to be long-term, how that's going to work out to the good. And even with basketball and stuff like that, sure you can have like the one or two star players that can carry a team, but still, when you're going against, they're again like a Bellbrook or a Franklin, where they just got so many kids that can throw at you, it's going to be tough for them to compete. And I could see, more changes in the SWBL. I think the new form of the Cross County Conference, I think that will be competitive within themselves, okay, but I think the SWBL, there's more changes to come there, I'm sure.
I will say I do like Preble, Shawnee, and Dixie going into the new Cross County Conference setup in the WOAC, because, that's less travel for, some of the other schools. You don't have to go up to Fort Loramie or Troy or Huber Heights to play Bethel, Miami East, Fort Loramie, Covington too. I mean, it's a pretty nice footprint in terms of travel. I mean, the farthest north you have to go is Ansonia or Bradford, or farthest south is Preble, Shawnee.
I think geographically, it certainly makes sense. And I think there again, the size of the schools, Dixie for the longest time, smallest school in the SWBL, and so when they get into the new conference, there'll be more middle of the pack, and so they'll be, you know, right off the bat, they'll be more competitive. So I think it's a good change for them. And Shawnee, I think there again, they'll be competitive. Their football program has kind of been up and down, but they've you know, had a decent role, so they'll be competitive both in football and basketball for sure in the new league.
Now, if you were to become the commissioner of one of these leagues, would you add any schools, drop any schools? What would you say is a perfect format for the Preble County schools?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing like a north-south division to help save on travel time to a degree. But you know, I can't think of too many other changes that you could do with that. I'm trying to think about when you say Preble County schools, does that include like Eaton?
Yep.
Is that what you're thinking? Or
yeah, I mean, okay, for all the Preble County schools, I mean, Eaton's going to be the lone rep in the SWBL once Preble Shawnee goes to the Western Ohio Athletic Conference. And also there's rumors that the SWBL is looking at Clinton Massey and Wilmington to join, and that's going to be a nice travel for the Eagles.
Yeah, but the thing is with Eaton, it's like, you know, where would they go? I'm not too sure where that they would end up. I mean, you know, I could not see them. They'd be the 800-pound gorilla if they tried to join up with the cross-county conference teams in the new conference. And then, you know, I guess even if they tried to join up with, you know, the Covington, Miami East, and all them, still there'd be the biggest school in that particular conference. And so, you know, if I'm Eaton, I'm kind of scratching my head going, I don't know about my chances. You know, their basketball program has been struggling for the longest time, and their football, you know, they had a good run there for a while, but it seemed like that's kind of dropped off. And so, you know, I don't know where they end up in a division, you know, in a conference that's comparable to them in size and ability. That's a good question mark, and I'm afraid I do not have an answer for that.
Who are some of your favorite players that you got to cover over the years, or some of your favorite games and venues that you get to visit?
Okay. Well, a couple of players kind of spring to mind. It was a David Good, I think was his name, from Chumbai South. He played football and basketball for them. And he was a tremendous athlete. I think he did a little bit of safety at Miami University down there in Oxford. And I think he ended up dropping out of school, but he played a couple of years there. But he was, you know, could dunk a basketball and just a tremendous athlete. And then the other one that kind of tops springs to mind, and I'm not saying that because he's the athletic director at South where I'm doing junior high coaching, but Ryan Ennis. He started off at South, and he ended up, if I remember right, he transferred over to Dixie. But again, just a tremendous athlete, you know, could dunk a basketball and just a top athlete. And so always tremendous to watch them. Some of the favorite games that I've watched is sometimes it's the ones, some of the favorite games are ones maybe that you don't think would be the favorite. Like the one that springs to mind, a back and forth game as a fan was good to watch. This is probably like 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Both North and Bethel were playing the last game of the season at North, and both teams had winning records, but they were didn't have enough points to make it into the playoffs. And so you can't win league, you can't make the playoffs. You're playing that last game because, you know, this is your senior year and you want to come out with a W. And those two teams battled back and forth for four quarters, and it was just a tremendous game to watch. Just kind of sticks up in mind that, you know, sometimes, you know, you're playing football for the love of the game, and sometimes it's not just, you know, I'm playing for a championship, I'm playing in the playoffs. I'm playing this game because I love football, and I want to win it. So that's a particular game that sticks out in my mind. Another one that I liked was when Dave Miller was at South, and he's rebuilding the program. And so I think is, you know, like a lot of coaches, maybe the first year, like it was a losing season. I want to say the second year was 500. And then finally the third year, he got into you know, winning territory. And of course, he had the one good year where he made the run into the playoffs. But this is before the run to playoffs. It was like a year or two ahead of that. And it was just interesting from the contrasting style of football. He's playing this triple option and playing the, you know, that type of game where you're trying to hunker down on the ball and have these long clock-eating drives. And he's playing against Jefferson. And Jefferson has got the spread offense. They've got a defense that's blitzing and just throwing people at you from different directions. And they're giving all kinds of oddball sets. And just that was a fun game to watch. And if I remember right, I think North won that the first game I talked about. Then South won this second game that I'm talking about. And just it was a fun game to watch from the contrasting styles of just like, here's this real conservative play caller with this triple option, playing against this other team that's just, you know, putting all kinds of wild plays together. And it was a close game. I remember South ended up winning that one. So those are a couple of the games that, you know, you wouldn't stick out in your mind as something memorable, but to me they were, because they're, again, you're kind of playing football for the love of the game. And just seeing the technical parts of a game and watching it from that standpoint.
You mentioned South's got a new AD. How cool was it that, you know, Tony Osberger, the former AD at Twin Valley South, not only was he there from the 80s till about last year, but the court now has his name ingrained in it, so his legacy will live on at South. How cool was that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was real happy for Tony. You know, I look at things from a sports writer's point of view, and obviously he was great with the athletes. The kids loved him, and he kind of set the standard for South basketball there for the longest time. But one thing, and this is something that, you know, if there's any, would happen to any young coaches that would happen to listen to this, something to think about, is that one thing from a sports writer's perspective is that Tony – well, you know, obviously he had bad games where, you know, he was kind of a little bit short, maybe a little bit terse, but he would always give an interview at the end of the ball game. And he was, you know, talkative and would answer questions and stuff. But he also, the one thing I noticed with Tony when he's doing the interview is he's trying to send a message sometimes to a player, sometimes to his team, as far as, you know, these are things we've been emphasizing. And, this particular game, we didn't do, we were like, maybe defense. We did not execute our defense the way we should have. Or, you know, on offense, we're taking too many. But see what I'm saying is he's getting the message out there in the paper and kind of reinforcing the message that he's given in practice and at the games. And it's just kind of reinforcing some of the concepts and stuff he's trying to teach his team. He uses the interview at the end of the game to try and reinforce the message. And I've always appreciated that. And then, you know, one thing that I do as a sports writer is I try and give, you know, kudos to the kids if someone has a good night, because they're, again, this, you know, this might be the only time in your life that you're getting your name in the paper. And Tony's always good about, giving kudos to the kids that had a good night. And even if it's a, you know, second string ball player that came in off the bench and gained some good minutes, you know, Tony would make mention of, you know, hey, you know, this sophomore came in, you know, in the third quarter when someone got in foul trouble, and really picked us up for, you know, that third quarter, kept us in the game, that kind of stuff. So he's, you know, a great coach, but also he was pretty savvy with how to handle the media.
And also his son Anthony, he was a good athlete at South too, in football and basketball, I definitely know. And I think that's how I started following your site, is when Anthony was at TVS and he'd have some great games. I remember broadcasting a couple of his as well. Just, he's a great athlete.
Well, you know, he was, and I could tell from early age, you know, obviously he was, coach of center basketball, and so really emphasizing the basketball side of him. But I'm watching him out there playing football, and I'm going, yeah, he's a good basketball player, but he's a great football player, you know. And so, you know, that I didn't know how that would end up panning out. It turned out to be he was, you know, a better football player than basketball player, although he was no slouch at that basketball. But yeah, he's definitely, you know, one of those athletes that that you think about as, you know, as far as having the good coordination. And he was, you know, being the coach's son, you know, any ability that he didn't have, he had the smarts to make up for it. And so on the basketball court, he had the smarts, but on football, he had good instincts and a hard hitter and, you know, played with a lot of heart.
And he went to Walsh, didn't he? Anthony did?
That's awful. I can't recall, but you might be right. I think he did end up playing there maybe for like a year or two. And I think he came back here to Preble County and ended up getting married maybe like a year or two ago. So.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought of that. It's like, oh, he's probably out of college by now. It's like, whoa, where'd his time gone? But, Chris, what are some of your favorite things about sports locally around Southwest Ohio?
Well, I just like the small school football. I've had the opportunity to travel around a little bit, and I've lived in Florida for a while, lived out in Texas for a while, and stuff like that. And well, I would think Texas is more comparable to Ohio as far as on a Friday night, where you're empty out of town and everybody gets to go to a football game. That's something I like. Ohio, I always think of as like the heart of football. And that shows on a Friday night in these small towns. Sometimes you're like, I'm driving to a game way far away, and as you're driving down like 503 or 127 or whatever, and I can see the lights over the stadium lights over some football field, in town A, and you go a bit further, there's town B, they got a home game. And so that's football on a Friday night, that's sports in Ohio for me. And of course, at least in this area, I think all through Ohio, that basketball is a good thing. I mean, I enjoy the loud gyms, although North is about the loudest gym there is. I've walked out of there with a headache many a time. but in any event, they get those loud gyms and those close games, and there again, it gives the kids a chance to be a hometown hero on a Friday or Saturday night with the basketball. But those are a couple of the things that I like the most. One last thing, I'm one of those rare people that enjoys track. I ran track in high school myself, and my daughter, ran track. The oldest daughter did, and so when you get these big events and you get down to the last event, is that the mile relay, and to see those kids put all out. And your lungs are burning. You come the last 100 yards down the finish line, and you see those kids give it all out. Sometimes it brings a tear to your eye sometimes to see how hard they push, trying to get to that finish line, ahead of everybody else. And to see the lungs are burning, your legs feel like lead weights, and you're pushing. You're just going on your mental strength because your legs are about shot. So. I like to see that in the springtime.
We mentioned earlier about the coronavirus. How has that affected you?
Well, for me, personal wise, I'm retired. So, the social distancing part was easy to do. And, I've been working part time now for the Daily Advocate. And, obviously, that just kind of pulled the rug under our collective feet for that. And so so there's been like zero sports to cover. And kind of a little segue off of that, the newspapers are kind of cutting back, and they're cutting back the rates that they're giving to freelancers. And so I got to think really long and hard. I mean, I enjoy doing it, and I'm not really in it for the money, but yet, you're going out there and you have gas and time going there. I have a time at the game, and then I've got to take pictures and put together a story and interview the coaches and then drive back home. And by the time you put it all together, you're not really making a whole lot on the hour. And so when they say we can't afford to pay this much, we're going to have to cut your rates, and you got to stop and think, well, I enjoy doing this, but I want to make at least a little bit out of it. So we'll have to wait and see. When football season, if it starts back up, if I'm going to be covering for sure or not, or maybe just doing something on my own. So, like I said, I pulled the rug out from our collective feet there in the spring when they stopped the basketball, and then and no spring sports whatsoever. And we don't know what fall's going to be like. So I'm like everybody else, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. I've heard all kinds of stuff. floated about, and I heard some stuff that didn't make any sense to me. Like someone's floating this idea that, you know, no huddles in football. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe you're not going to huddle, but geez, you're going to be, you know, the linemen are going to be going face to face every play, you know? So how do you counter for that? And it's just like, you know, here's some silly stuff out there. I'm hopeful that they get something going to where we can have sports this fall. I mean, I can see the administrators and the guys that run the Ohio Athletic Association, as far as they want to be conservative, because who wants to be the guy that gives the green light for sports, and then you have, you know, even just one athlete that gets the coronavirus and dies? Well, you know, how's that going to, if you're the one kid, the parent's the one kid that dies, you know, that's going to be tough. So I really don't know what to think as far as what happens this fall. I mean, everybody's hopeful there's some sort of a vaccine or something, but there's no guarantee we'll have something like that. And will they have enough vaccine to roll out, say, in late August, when the football really gets going, you know? So, but it's a, you know, anybody's guess as to what's going to happen this fall. I'm hopefully get something going, but who knows?
I hope high school football returns in a safe manner, but I'm hoping we have sports to talk about in the fall, because this quarantine, it's been tough, especially with no live sports. I mean, they are starting to slowly trickle back in, but yeah, it's still tough. And considering that spring sports didn't happen and winter sports couldn't play for championships, I want to see sports back, but I don't want to see it in such a way where, you know, people are catching the coronavirus and possibly dying from it.
Exactly. And that's where I wonder if they might not end up going on the side of caution, you know, and not doing anything. But yeah, there again, we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
You mentioned the Daily Advocate. That's the paper in Greenville. What do you cover for that?
Right. I do sports only. So that's been all in my entire career. I've almost always done sports. I think I've done a few general interest articles for Twin Valley Publications. But it has always been sports, like 98% sports, I would say. And so what I do with them is they send out a thing, you know, like every Sunday, they'll send out a list. These are things we'd like to have covered. And so I can kind of pick and choose and see which ones are, you know, I live down in Southern Preble County, but a lot of times, since they're all in the same league, you know, teams have got away games at North or South or Trail, maybe Eaton sometimes. I'll cover those. And I have gone and traveled over like West Carrollton and stuff like that, especially when I was working. I worked over in the Beaver Creek area, so that was great for the Greenville team, because at that time, you know, they're playing against, you know, a lot of the schools right in that Beaver Creek area. So I could go after work, go cover a game or something like that.
That wasn't a bad setup. So let me ask you this. What would you like to see in the future for sports and or media in Southwest Ohio? Like, what would you like to see added to the sports world down here, or the media world, like more radio stations to cover games, or what would you like to see?
Well, I'd like to see how things evolve, because obviously what you're doing with this podcast right here, you know, that's like an evolution. You know, that's a change, because, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I don't think hardly anybody heard of a podcast and stuff. And so I'm thinking that's the direction that things need to go, because, you know, they're getting the print media. That's like a dying thing. You know, the newer people coming up have zero interest in newspapers. So, you know, and I think there's still an interest in people. There again, like coaches' comments after games. And so what I'm thinking is that the next evolution is to, you know, the podcast like what you're doing, but I'm thinking there's going to be more of a multimedia approach, because I thought about doing this, but again, you know, I'm retired. I'm not going to put a whole lot of time into it. My thought is that if you have some way of being able to film a game easily and then film the coach at the end, and now I can clip out some of the highlights, like, you know, this is the you know, the winning touchdown from the tailback, and this is the interception by the cornerback that stopped the drive, and you get those highlights together. You have an interview with the coach at the end of the team, and it's all done, you know, digitally, where you have it, there again, I don't know, just throwing out some ideas, you know, like a, maybe not TikTok, but like, you know, just Facebook. I could put something up there on Facebook. and have the some short film clips, an interview of the coach, and then it's something easily digested. I think that the people are okay reading like a short article, but the longer articles that are like 1,000 words, I think that the younger people in particular aren't interested in reading an article like that, but they'll probably sit and watch like a 5 or 10 minute recap of the game. I think that would be something that I could see certainly happening, but it's just the having the dedication, the time to be the guy that gets the film and edits it and does the coach interviews the coach and captures that on film on the, well, I keep on saying film, but digitally, I guess. So that's kind of an evolution that I see happening. And I thought about doing it, but it's like, I'm retired. I don't want to put a whole lot of time and effort into this. I'd be glad to help somebody else with it, but as far as being the guy to put something like that together and, maybe have somebody on site at every place to capture the game for you, that might be the way to go. And then you have at the conference website, I can go take a look at, what was the highlights from North? What was the highlights from Ansonia? That type of thing.
Isn't it amazing how far technology has come and how, more accessible sports are to people on social media?
Yes, that's very, very true. You can do a search and come up with, all kinds of information about the athletes and stuff. And, all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. There's the Huddle and I'm trying to Mac Preps and some of his other websites where some of that stuff is already available. Where I've seen some people that submit short little film segments and stuff there. So some of the stuff is already happening. And something else, just to kind of go in a little segue off of this, is, think about this younger generation, and I'm watching my grandchildren, and think about esports. So we're talking about physical sports, but there's esports out there, and I'm watching my kids, and they're watching other people play games, and I'm watching them. It's like I have zero interest in watching other people play, video games or whatever. And but they're sitting there watching this mesmerized, and I've heard about, and I'm sure you have too, about the like tournaments and stuff like that are online that people watch and stuff like that. And so that might be like the next evolution, is that there's probably still always going to be physical sports, but esports might be creeping up behind them, and who knows, 20 years from now, there'll be more emphasis on esports than, although I can't fathom more than football and basketball, but some of the lesser sports, I could see esports, eclipsing them perhaps.
I saw the Pacers and the Fever have an esports tournament and how huge that is, and I think, what college was it, where they're actually offering scholarships for esports. It's like, I don't know about that one, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And you mentioned Huddle, the football team that I broadcast for in Cincinnati. They have this basically a portable hard drive, and they take footage and they're able to edit and chop out the highlights and everything. It's just, I've said it once, I'll say it again, technology is really amazing and how far it's shown up. My big thing is, though, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when I was in high school that they sent some game films of mine to colleges, and it was like real films. And so they had to physically send films off to college coaches for them to look at and so forth. So you could imagine you have this big bulky thing, you got to wait for it to be delivered in the mail, and the guy's got to look at it and return it and stuff like this. And today, if a college coach wants to see an athlete, then it's just you press a button, and a few seconds later, the guy's got it. So it's a world of difference.
It's the digital, just having that. That's pretty nice. The one thing I would say on that question I asked is I'd love to see a radio station back in Eaton, where it was, I think, WCTM, something like that. I'd love to see something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that's where I'm impressed with almost, that's awful, it's Tiger. Up there at the Versailles, the guy that does the sports cast up there, the high school sports up in that area, they really get a lot of attention because they have the radio guy up there and I see him at the games all the time, and I've spoken to him, and all of a sudden, like I said, I want to say like WTGR or whatever that is up there. But in any event, does a great job, and to me, a quality job, because, you know, you're out there in the middle of the sticks, you know, realistically. You're not in like a big market. You're not like in the Cincinnati or Columbus. You're out there in the sticks. But they put together a quality broadcast, and the kids get recognition. And, you know, if especially, you know, grandma and grandpa can't make it out the ball game, I could flip it on right there, and I got the ball game. And they're going to do a quality job with the broadcast. So, it's a shame that, you know, that Eaton and specifically in Preble County in general doesn't have a local station like that that can cover sports for them.
It is a shame, too. I remember reading articles about that radio station, and I never got a chance to listen to it, but I think that'd be great for Preble County. And yeah, Scott Ward does an amazing job with WTGR up north.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those people interested in becoming journalists, what advice can you give them?
Well, I would say, you gotta get your foot in the door. And like me, I started off, with a paper ink, a paper pad, and then I had a little handheld digital camera that was totally unsuited for sports. But anyhow, I accumulated stuff and got better and better. And I was fortunate that I had a mentor of sorts in Eddie Moen, who works for the Register Herald. And so, he saw me started out, and, you know, he could have given me a cold shoulder. I'm working for a competitor, and just totally ignore me. But no, he gave me advice on, focus on these shots. You always want to get the face in the picture. You can get the face and the ball in the picture. That's a bonus. And let me think of some other stuff. And, I observed his interviewing technique. And so I knew I could learn from watching him the right questions to ask and so forth. And I guess for a young person who wants to get into journalism in general or sports in particular, then being able to find someone who's a veteran, who's done it, and kind of, hey, can I give you a hand if you're covering a ball game? Can I, you take the notes and I'll snap the pictures for you, or vice versa. I can keep stats, or see what I'm saying, kind of get your foot in the door and watch and see how an experienced person does it, and kind of capture things from there. That would be, the biggest piece of advice I can think of, because I was a total novice at it. I still think of myself as a novice with a camera. I joke to people I'm a monkey when it comes to operating the camera, but I just kind of play around with it. Like, these are the settings for a volleyball match indoors. So I write that down, and I've always got up my notepad. And then, like, these are the settings outdoor at a lit football stadium. And I'll write that down. And then, so see what I'm saying? It's kind of trial by error. And I'm sure someone that would really put the time and energy into learning all the apertures and shutter speeds and stuff like that, that they could do a better job than I. But like I said, I just kind of a trial and error and figured out as I go as far as the camera thing.
You mentioned Eddie Mowen. He's my cousin, actually.
Okay, I wondered if there was a correlation there. So he's a really nice guy, mm-hmm. and I know his daughters are doing well at sports, and he's been a nice mentor for me.
His daughter Becca, she's playing softball she was playing softball at Thomas More until the coronavirus. So it's always cool to see, and there's not a lot of people with that last name. So yeah, definitely Eddie is a good guy, and I'm happy I'm related mm-hmm. to him. So Chris, cool. How can people follow your work and you on social media?
Well, there's not too many Chris Tiltons around, so if you do just a search on Chris Tilton Sports, you'll get the blog, and probably on Facebook. I do have there's a Van Diet Sports page I've kind of played around with and not kept up as much as the blog, but there is that, and there are pictures and stories and stuff there. So you can find me there on Facebook. And those are probably the two biggest places to find me. And, of course, if anybody needs coverage on anything, or if there's anybody looking for some freelance work. I've been contacted by papers that during playoff time where they get, you know, I got four teams in the paper or four teams in the playoffs, but only two riders. I need one or two more riders. So, you know, if anybody would like to contact me for covering, you know, playoffs and stuff like that, I'm available. And, you know, it would not be a problem to contact me to do that. Like I said, I'm retired, got time on my hands, so not a problem.
Chris, thank you so much for your time today. I enjoyed this interview, and it was really fun getting to know about, you know, your journey as a sports journalist.
Okay. Likewise, it was a pleasure talking to you.
And that'll do it. That's episode 164 of the Cincinnati Dayton Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you again for episode 165. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast with Lee W. Mowen. To subscribe to the podcast, please visit the LeeWMowen.com/podcast. From there, you can choose your favorite platform, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, and many more. Interact with the podcast and host on Twitter at the Lee W. Mowen and at Cinday Pod. Like the Facebook page, the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast, and download the free Flick Chat app, then search for the local Cinday Sports Group to submit your future Mowen's mailbag questions. The closing theme is Lights Go Down by Dan Hennig, provided by the YouTube Music Library Collection. This is Lee W. Mowen, and I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Please join me again next week on the Cincinnati and Dayton Sports Podcast.